Recorded Books and RB Digital present Chaucer, A European Life by Marion Turner, narrated by the author.
For Cecilia, Peter and Elliot. General Prologue. I am all the writers that I have read, all the people that I have met, all the women that I have loved, all the cities that I have visited, all my ancestors. Jorge Luis Borges. On the 4th of July, 1378, a beadmaker, Simon Wilder de Estland, robbed a haberdasher's shop in London. The victim, Thomas True, made a list of the items that had been stolen. Accessories such as caps, laces, threads and purses, children's clothes of different colours, musical instruments, cushion frames and chess sets, complete with pieces described in the terms of medieval affinities as a familiar, household or mene, retinue. The range of items suggests a clientele who cared about their leisure time, who thought about appearance and self-fashioning, and who were interested in their children and their domestic surroundings. Notebooks and hats were jumbled up with pictures of the crucifixion painted on fabric and items for use in the mass. Several details of this case illustrate aspects of the late medieval use and understanding of space. The shop was located in the area of Paternoster Row, a street directly north of St Paul's Churchyard. This area was the centre of both the rosary selling and the bookmaking trades. Two kinds of products frequently recur in the inventory of stolen items. Beads of many different kinds, including wood, jet and black alabaster, and items relating to book production, such as skins of parchment, inkhorns, pen cases, quires of paper and paper covered in leather. People who worked in the same trade tended to cluster together in medieval London, and indeed Thomas True's two formal supporters in his lawsuit were also haberdashers, John Sall and Richard Spencer, and the accused worked in an associated trade, beadmaking. The specific location of True's shop is not identified by a street address. Instead, it is described by two different markers, Parish, St Ewan's, and Ward, Farringdon Within, signifying ecclesiastical and civic jurisdictions. A 14th century house or shop was located under more than one kind of authority, and the property holder had responsibilities to both ward and parish. As the shop was situated within the city of London itself, the case could be heard under the law of infangenthef, a privilege that allowed the London mayor and alderman to exercise summary justice, including execution, on thieves within the city. History, law, convention and social practice all contributed to the particular character of True's shop and to the fate of the man who robbed it. Geoffrey Chaucer was a Londoner, born and brought up a few streets south and east of Thomas True's place of business. At this time, he resided on the edge of the city, above Aldgate, on the eastern walls of London. But on the day when this case was heard, the 6th of July, 1378, he was in Italy, having been sent on a diplomatic mission to Lombardy. This was his second trip to Italy, and he was particularly suitable for these missions because of his urban background. Although by the 1370s he had become a member of the royal household and a retainer of John of Gaunt, his background was mercantile and urban. His upbringing in the city of London had given him the opportunity to mix with Italians and to learn the language. Growing up in a wealthy merchant's house on the bank of the Thames, watching the ships come in bringing products from all over the world, provided a cosmopolitan childhood for the boy who was to become an exceptionally cosmopolitan poet. Items sold in True's shop demonstrate the importance of international trade networks for medieval Londoners. True sold a great deal of paper, for instance, which was almost certainly imported from Italy. He also had piperquerns, pepper mills, for sale to feed the affluent class's insatiable appetite for pepper, a luxury product that traversed the world. This appetite had provided the foundation of Chaucer's comfortable upbringing, as his grandmother's first husband had been a pepperer, and she and her subsequent two husbands had continued to live in the heart of the spice trader's quarter.